Hello to Booked Up Friends. I'm Rowena Mabbott, and today Shelley and I have got an author interview lined up for you. I'm so excited. We're going to be chatting to Mel Daniels, my good friend and the author of The Power of Content.
Oh, this is going to be a fantastic episode for business owners who may be feeling a bit stuck with this idea of content creation and content marketing. Mel has a refreshing new take on content that will help you tap into your content superpowers rather than getting overwhelmed trying to follow a bunch of formulas which are, let's be honest, all made up. So really, there's gold in this episode for everyone. Mel's message is to bring more you into whatever it is you do, whether that's in your reading life, in your hobbies, in your career, your family, or the way you approach a project, like writing a book, for instance.
Oh yes, Shelley, we're definitely going to talk about Mel's self-publishing journey, because unlike my self-published fiction book, The Power of Content is a book written to support Mel's business. So I certainly want the behind the scenes of Mel's writing process and the inside scoop on her launch and marketing strategies.
Oh, count me in for that. That is all coming up on this very special episode of Two Booked Up.
Welcome to Two Booked Up. I'm Rowena Mabbott.
And I'm Shelley Tonkin-Smith. We're two well-read best friends.
And now you are an honorary member of our book club. We're going to fast forward you to the mind-blown and mic-drop parts of those business and personal development books that are probably on your must-read list.
Because as multi-passionate working parents, we know how hard it is to find time to read, but we also know how much you love learning, growing, and making a difference in the world.
So treat yourself to a bit of bookish conversation, whether you've read the book or not.
With your two friends on Two Booked Up.
Mel Daniels is a content strategist, speaker, podcast host, and author. Her curiosity has led her on an interesting life journey from academic achiever to corporate leader to mum and now business owner.
Mel, welcome to Two Booked Up. Rowena and I are delighted to be chatting with you about your book, The Power of Content. But before we dive in, can you please just tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the big things that you think about?
Thank you so much. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Rowena. It's really such an honor to be on your podcast and to be able to come here and talk about my new book, The Power of Content. So in relation to the big things that I think about, it's all about the why in my life. I love to understand why things work like they do, why people act a certain way, and why I happen to be the only one that loves peanut butter and sultana sandwiches, thanks to my mum. So when my husband and I go out to eat, he always lets me have the seat where I can have the best people watching, simply because I just love to work out why people do certain things. And it's probably this curiosity, I think, that's actually led me into the world of content, where I've been able to really discover and fulfill and live my purpose, which is rather exciting, which is to empower women to actually use content in a really powerful way. So my mission, my vision in life is to really give women the confidence and the clarity that they need to become visible and be seen as the experts that they are in a way that really feels easy and aligned for them. So whether I'm working one-on-one with clients or supporting them in my membership, I do a lot of cheering from the sidelines. I love, love, love seeing my clients find their content superpowers and own their stories as well. But when I'm not talking about content, you'll either find me in the kitchen or in the gym. And lucky for me, my love of deadlifting seems to counteract the amount of baked goods I consume. Kind of.
Anyway. Well, Mel, we've met up for a few walks with our doggies. And we've also shared a lot of stories about the trials and tribulations of independent publishing. So I'm really excited to talk more about that with you. But let's start by talking about your book specifically, The Power of Content. Now, I've finished reading it recently, and I have to say I really enjoyed it and had lots of aha moments. If you looked at my Kindle edition, and you'd see that so many sections were highlighted. But I really love it's also a quick read and very practical. And I think for any of our audience who might be keen to read the book but feel that they don't have time, I would say this is one that you could probably read in a relatively short amount of time because Mel has written it in a way that is very conversational and very accessible. And I have been taking lots of action on many of the ideas and suggestions you share in the book. But our listeners now get to hear it straight from the source. So to be clear, that's you, Mel. What are the main takeaways that you would like readers to take from the book?
Oh, Rowena, you're so lovely. Well, firstly, I want to say thank you, a huge, huge thank you for being such amazing support. Like you said, we have done many dog walks and many chats about self-publishing, and you have been a real source of inspiration for my own book writing journey. So thank you so much for reading it and having me on your podcast and, you know, sharing your knowledge and your experience in this area. I just feel super grateful to be sitting here with you and Shelley on your amazing podcast talking about books. But the book itself, I feel like it's more about you can take what you need from it. I think that we're all on different paths in our lives when it comes to our business and our life journey. So there's really something in there for everyone. But if I was going to pinpoint a couple of things, I would say firstly, the first takeaway would be to be more you. So this can be really, really difficult. It's difficult to block out the noise that's coming to us from all different directions and really trusting our intuition and trusting our strengths and trusting that that's going to make it easier. I think that this is definitely true in life and business, so not just business, but life as well. When we're not trying to be like someone else or someone we think that we need to be, then everything's going to flow so much easier. So that's the first takeaway around being more you. And the second one would be around that life is about connection. And I'm just so passionate about this connection with other humans, connection with community, something bigger, whatever it is for you. Like right now, there's three of us here and we're chatting and having an amazing conversation. And then it's about us connecting with each individual person listening to this podcast. And I just think that that's so amazing. It's so beautiful. Cool. And it is, isn't it? And when we really embrace this, when we embrace the fact that it is about connection, then content creation can become so much easier for people who are out there that have a business and want to create content. And life becomes easier as well because we're not pretending to be someone else.
Yeah, we're just connecting. Oh, that's so well said, Mel, and really like a big message that I got from the book as well. I really enjoyed that message of connection, and it got me thinking about, you know, Rowena and I connected. Oh, Ro, how long ago was it? I mean, it's like 5 years ago now, ages ago.
Maybe yeah. 20. Actually, I think it was maybe 2017.
I trust Ro for her keeping the notes and keeping the upholdery kind of stuff for us. And yeah, it was on a Facebook group.
Memory girl.
Yes. But to your point, Mel, that's exactly how we connected in two different countries, each in different fields, but I actually put up a survey on a Facebook group asking people to share their experiences about building websites. And yeah, it was actually more of an ask than it was putting out a blog post or a piece of content. It was going out into the community and going, can you help me with this? And yeah, Ro put up her hand and she signed up to do the survey. And then I said, oh, well, let's have a chat and have a call. And like since then, we've become each other's clients. We've got our own little accountability group that we've set up. And of course, we now collaborate on Two Booked Up. So yeah, it's like one moment can help us connect and really change the trajectory of our lives and businesses. And yeah, leaning into that, I think it's just so fun. And so I love that that's a central part of your message about what content is. Because yeah, I think content can feel like this, oh, the salesy machine. And yeah, like I know you hate it on sales funnels. And I'm like, amen, sister, of this transactional nature of sales funnels and manipulation. And one of the things that you say in the book is no matter what type of content you're creating, so we're on a podcast, you're blogging, your social media content, no matter what kind of content you're creating a thread of commonality between people potentially across the globe. And here we are as an example of that right now between South Africa and Australia right now. And like, I think you two having met even just in your local circle. So that connection doesn't just have to be internet based, but it can also then bring you into connection locally. So it's so amazing. But then you go on to say, and I know this is one of your core messages, I love your clarity, by the way, is that content has the power to connect us all. It's up to you how you use it. But I'd love for you now to give us a sense of how you'd like to see your readers approaching their content. And perhaps even more generally in the way they communicate their message. So you are a specialist specifically in content, but as a copywriter, I was like, there's lots of great stuff here on general messaging and putting your messaging out into the world. What do you want your readers to do in terms of how they approach their content as they walk away from this very practical book?
Yeah, great question, Shelley. I would say that after reading the book, there's quite a few things that I would love people to approach their content. And one would be to really lean into your superpower, lean into your strengths, because I want people to see that there is actually more than one pathway to an outcome. And that pathway really depends on your strengths and your personality and how you like to do things, not what others tell you to do. And I think that we are so consumed by doing things the right way and doing things other people's way that we forget who we are at the core as a human being, and we forget to use our strengths and our intuition. So that's the first thing. Really use your superpowers and your strengths to be able to create content. The second is that, like I said, content has the power to connect us all. And to use that power of content to your advantage. And I don't mean this in a bad way, trickery or anything like that. But a lot of people, like you said, Shelley, really come to content feeling like it's a chore, like it's really hard, like it's something that they have to do. And that negative energy can be really burdensome. So if content has that power to connect us all, then I want people to use it for good, mm-hmm. good for not for evil, to really spread their message. And whether you have a business or not, that applies to you. Like, we all are here for a reason. We all have the ability to make an impact on other people's lives, on the world, on the planet, however big or small. So I'd really love people to embrace that power and use it to their advantage. So the next thing is, I think that I want people to challenge what they believe to be true about content marketing. And even if you're not in the business space, I would love people to think about or challenge their own perspectives. Create your content, create your life, create your business from a new perspective, a different perspective. Because I really want people to ditch those shoulds. There's so much content out there. And when we're looking for a specific solution, we can really, really be caught up in following that formula or ticking all the boxes or doing exactly what other people say without really reference to what feels right for us. And I'm really all about the feeling and the intention. And then lastly, I would love people to be courageous with their content. Like I said, we're all here for a reason, and I really want to encourage your listeners to be the best they can be and really make a difference. And I don't mean that they have to, you know, solve climate change or solve homelessness or, you know, conquer space, whatever those big things might be. I just really want them to be courageous enough in their life to say what needs to be said and to do what needs to be done.
Wow, Mel, that is gorgeous. And I have to say, I'm loving hearing your words around being connected with how people want to feel and being very intentional and working with their strengths, because these are all things that we talk a lot about here on the podcast. So maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't know that, but otherwise I'm thinking, hey, this is very aligned.
Oh, totally. And this is what Rowena's bread and butter is, of like tapping into your strength. So yes, so just by the way, if you need some help in discovering your strengths and then using that with your content, you've got two very good experts here.
Now, that's a lovely segue, Shelley, because courage and bravery is a strength. And Mel, I have heard you say that one of the bravest, most courageous things a person can do is to start their own business. And I loved when I was reading your book about this idea of having a regular CEO day. So for listeners, if you haven't read the book yet, make sure you grab a copy and read it. But one of the things that Mel talks about in the book is she has a practice of having a regular CEO day for her business. Now, regardless of whether someone, you as listeners, whether you run a business or you have a family, I think this is something you might find quite valuable. Now, Mel, you mentioned that you started with a monthly CEO day and now you have one every week. So could you perhaps share for our listeners what a CEO day could entail and what the benefits are of this practice?
So it's really quite funny that you should ask this question, Rowena, because I talked about having CEO time in my business for so long. And then one day I just said to myself, why am I talking about this? Stop talking, Mel, and actually put it in your calendar. So once I put it in my calendar, it became a thing that was non-negotiable. And once I saw how easy it was to do it once a month, and that's how it came to be once a week. But the types of things that I might do on a CEO day, funnily enough, it will often start with a coffee or a catch up with someone. And I think that that for me really puts me in the right frame of mind and the right mood. It really, that is that connection piece once again that really lights me up. And once I'm kind of in that zone and I have that energy, then it's really easy to do the things that come after it. So it's really about doing the things that take me out of the everyday of my business and put me in a strategic and purposeful and powerful place. So it might be things like looking at my numbers, that's forecasting, budgeting, just revenue growth, that type of thing. I will collect and analyze some stats. So that might be growth in followers, it might be podcast downloads, the best performing content that I've had during that month. I might actually do content creation itself, so some actual podcast episodes. I would typically look at any strategic or launch plans, including 90-day planning, and just checking in with my goals and seeing how I'm traveling with those and whether anything needs to be tweaked or I need to really double down on a certain action in order to get them happening. So yeah, anything that really takes me out of the doing and into the working on my business is what I class as a CEO day. And then when I think about that from a life perspective, I don't have a set day per se, but what I will do is if I notice a few bills coming in that I've kind of put to the side, I'll pay or I'll schedule them together, and then I'll maybe do an online grocery shop or some sort of meal planning as well. So when I'm in the zone of family in admin, I really get those things done. So yeah, it's all about just being really focused and intentional and doing those things that you need to do in order to grow as a person, as well as grow your business.
Yeah, and setting it on the calendar and actually specifically making time for that. I love that. But I do feel like I'm grouped with not just two Aussies against one South African here. I'm grouped with two very organized people with the more free-spirited kind of person. I am what was the second content archetype? Mel, the collector. I'm the collector, I think, Rowena. I like to try out all the different things and I can get quite overwhelmed with all the things and get just excited in my curiosity and all of that. But what I quite like about your strategy with your CEO day is having that slight change of starting with a coffee, starting with something that's different to the day to day. So it like jogs your brain into going, okay, I'm in a different zone now. I'm in this kind of big picture thinking. And I think that's really helpful for all our listeners to set aside time for doing that big picture thinking and then have, like, to me, it sounds like a ritual in a way of like starting it off and going, yep, I'm now in CEO mode, thinking big. So yeah, from listening to your podcast and from reading the book, I do realize that you are a process and organization rock star. But let's just acknowledge that you are doing a lot. You're running your business, you've got two teens, you've got a dog to look after, and now you add writing a book to that list. So honestly, having tried it myself, writing a book, I've got a draft on Google Drive, but that's where it's ended. And hopefully that's not going to be its end. It'll maybe see the light of day. But it's a huge undertaking to write a book. So I'd love to know from you, Mel, for me and for those out there who'd like to write a book, what advice would you give to someone thinking of writing a nonfiction book and, yeah, some tips for the journey?
I really want to say don't do it, but I'm not going to say that because it's...
No, because this is the two booked up. We talk about books. We like books, remember?
We like reading them, definitely.
We don't say don't do it. Well, yeah, true. We love reading them and people need to write them so we can read them.
That's right. And I loved, and don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved the process and I've learned so much from it and grown as a person as well. But I think that if you are thinking of writing a book, I would think about four main things. The first thing is think about, why am I doing this in the first place? What's the objective? The second is, how am I going to get it done? How am I going to create that momentum and keep it going? The next one is budget. And this is a really interesting one as well. Like, how much money am I willing to spend and what am I willing to compromise on? And then the last thing is, I would encourage people to record what they're doing. So in terms of understanding the objective, it's thinking about, you know, what's the purpose? Is this simply for brand awareness? Is it to elevate your speaking prospects? Is it to spread a message as far and wide as possible? And do you know what? I'm going to be really honest with you both and your listeners, and I don't think I did this really well. I wrote the book and then I kind of backfilled all of those ideas. And I think that if I had have understood my objective better and really articulated it and being clear on it, it may have made a few decisions along the way a little easier. So I would really encourage people to think about why they are writing the book.
That's really cool that you share that with us. And I think that's one of your messages around content itself as well, is having that why piece in your why, how, and what. So of like having that why piece in place. And look, sometimes I suppose it does reveal itself along the journey and in the action, but it's an important piece to have.
You would think that I would have had that in place, wouldn't you? But no.
I know. I'm totally with you. It was like, sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, can I just listen to my own advice?
Yes, exactly. So that was the first one, objective. And then the second one, momentum. Momentum is really your friend. And I cannot stress this enough, because consistency is the key to getting something finished. And whilst we all have different content creation styles, which you touched on briefly there before, Shelley, no matter what your content creation style, I think having a structure and knowing a structure before you start can really help you focus and can really help you waste less time and yet still be really flexible. So I was lucky enough to employ someone to help me with that. They helped me with the structure and then I was able to go on and create things. The third thing was around the budget, and this is a really big one. I didn't know how expensive it could be to write and publish a book. It can be very cheap as well, but just really understanding what that budget is, what your maximum is, and what you're willing to compromise on and what you're not willing to compromise on, I think is really important when you're thinking about writing a book. And then the last one is to record what you're doing. And this is something that's really, really fun. I took a selfie every time I sat down to write or edit, and I kept a record of, you know, the days that I wrote and the number of words that I wrote. And it's really fun to look back on. Like, I've been able to create so many pieces of content from those selfies and the fact that I have kept track of exactly what I did and when. And it's really great also to look back on, in terms of my writing process, how long things took. Like, I didn't really think in my head that it took me that long to write a book, but it actually did. So it's really, really interesting to be able to record. So they're the four things.
I love that. Mel, I love the idea of taking a selfie. I have to admit, I did not do that. But tracking the word count, I did find was very motivating. I'd just like to touch back on what you said there about the budget, because it's not just the financial costs, is it? It's also the time and the energy, which is partly what you were doing when you were recording what you with your selfie. You're recording the amount of time and the energy that it takes to write a book. So I love that you've drawn that out for our listeners as well, because I would agree that it's not just, it's also the money, the cost, the opportunity cost. If you're working on your book, you're not working in your business. So on those notes, for you, what would you say was the most challenging part of writing your beautiful book?
Well, exactly what you've just said, taking my focus away from making money, serving clients, doing the things that I love to do day to day, and focusing solely on writing the book, publishing it, learning about that publishing process, making the decisions, tearing my hair out along the way. And I'm still feeling the impact of that. So I have found that quite challenging. I know that it's going to reap rewards in the future. And it's, you know, done wonders for my business and wonders for my confidence as well. But I know that it has taken away that momentum of the everyday making money with clients. So that's probably the first one. The second one is guilt. And this might sound a little bit strange, but I had to stop writing my book. So I wrote for 4 months and then we decided to sell and buy a new home. And we had a family member who had medical issues. So I stopped writing. I stopped writing altogether. I just didn't have the brain space. So one of the challenges was the guilt that I felt about leaving that book and watching the reminders for the time I blocked out in my calendar every week pop up and then just feel so bad about the fact that I wasn't committing to making my dream a reality. So that was really, really difficult. But in the end, I was able to accept the fact that it was a season of life. And I just had the faith. I really had the faith that I'd come back to it and finish it at the right moment, which I did. And it is also a story that I share in the book. But yeah, it was really around that guilt when I wasn't focused solely on writing the book. And then following on from that, I guess the challenge is the getting going again bit. I found that really hard and very challenging because I had left it for so long. I had left it for about 9 months, it was in the end. And it just kept being put to the bottom of my to-do list. And that's the thing, it became a task, not something, a project that I really enjoyed or I wanted to do. It became a task. So I ended up writing daily until it was finished. And then working on it in terms of editing, etc., daily until it was ready to be published. So yeah, that was probably the third challenge, getting going again after I stopped writing.
Oh, I so hear you on both of those last two. The guilt particularly, as I have changed from, well, maybe to your point, the writing initially was really fun and it was exciting. And then when you stop because of what you've explained, that makes perfect sense. And I think everybody can completely understand that seasons of life and life happens, you know, but getting going again is really hard. And the guilt of not getting going can actually be quite consuming. I'm trying to get myself started on writing the second book in the Single in Sydney series. And I'm in that stage where I feel guilty about not doing it, but also I haven't quite kicked into my daily writing habit yet. So I love hearing that you, like me, are sharing that these are genuine problems or challenges, if you like, as authors. Shelley, I think I'm going to throw to you because you've got another question for Mel.
Yeah, so Mel, as a copywriter and a bit of a marketing person, I'm very interested in this side of your book. You talk a lot about the client's journey. I mentioned earlier that you don't like these icky sales funnels where, you know, people are just going through an automated sales funnel and almost getting manipulated at every little part of the funnel. But instead, you talk about the client's journey. And I really like this idea that you call out the transactional nature of sales funnels with these human beings that are being squished through a sales funnel. So I'm interested to know how this book, The Power of Content, fits into your ideal client journey and just your content ecosystem. You've got a podcast and your blog, and you've also got paid offers like your membership and your one-on-one coaching. Where does the book fit into your client journey?
Oh my goodness, I love this question so much, Shelley, because no one has ever asked me this before. So thank you. Thank you for asking me this question. I really see the book as the conduit between my free content, which is my blog and my podcast at the moment, and my paid services. So it's really that I want to know more piece. It's that piece of content that will really help other people see that my perspective and my approach to content creation and strategy is very different and unique to others in my industry. So yeah, I kind of see it as that middle piece or missing piece between the free things and the paid.
Yes, yes. There's something to me so special about a book. Like a person has just drawn that little bit closer to you. I would argue even closer than when they sign up for your email list, because they've spent a little bit of money for the convenience. I love that. Like, I love the convenience of a book, that you've got all of this person's content in a nice beautiful packaged up book. But I also think in terms of the client journey, I think it's a really great touch point because then people not only spend their money, but they also spend time learning from the contents of the book and getting to know you as the author, which I feel like I know you so well now, having read your book. So now you've shared about how you wrote the book and the business strategy behind it. But then, of course, it all comes down to people finding and buying the book. So Mel, please, can you share what you did to launch this book to help create a bit of buzz at the time that your book launched, which I think was about, a month and a half ago or so, as at the time of recording?
Early April. April.
Can you take us back there, Mel, and tell us, How did you create that buzz? How did you launch that book into the world? Because I think that for me is what scares me completely.
Yeah, and this is another really great question because there are so many different ways that you can market a book. Oh my goodness me. And the time period as well. I feel like I've been talking about my book for months and months and months and months. So I actually started with a Kickstarter campaign. So that was to encourage people to pre-purchase the book and take up package offers. So I put together, you know, different bonuses and different tiers and packages so that people could purchase that upfront and fund different aspects of the book itself, the publishing process. So I feel like, you know, that was probably in November last year. So that was almost 6 months ago, basically now. So yeah, I feel like it can be a really long process. So there's all of the launch around the Kickstarter campaign. So it's about using content, funnily enough, creating it, using it purposefully, being really genuine, thinking about how you can tap into other people's audiences as well. So things like guest appearances on people's podcasts or interviews. And it was also really going back to my two highest values, and that is connection and community, and really relying on the strength of those to help me get through the Kickstarter campaign. And then I also did a pre-orders as well. So Amazon allows you to do a pre-order for your ebook version of your book if you have one. So I did a period of about 3 weeks for that. I would have made it shorter. I think in the future, I will definitely make it shorter. But then that's just another way that you can market your book as well. There are so many different ways that you can market your book. And I'm sure that I haven't even like touched the surface in terms of where you can advertise it, what you can do, and how you can connect with people. But yeah, I really lent into that connection and community.
Using your strengths of your core values. Again, Mel, totally practicing what you preach in here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just going to pick on something you said there, because you said in future you'll do it differently. Does that mean that you're thinking about writing another book, Mel?
Oh my goodness, did I say that?
You heard it here first, folks.
It's now on record. I actually think that part of the success that you haven't mentioned, Mel, and I can say this as your friend, is testament to the fact that you are a people person. So yes, you mentioned about connection, but as your friend, I can say and confirm for everybody, Mel is all about connection, and you love to connect with people and you love to hear their stories. In fact, this is one of the messages that's in your book that I really love, that you can walk down the street and people will talk to you and share their stories with you. And I think it's that natural gift of yours, again, referencing your strengths, that definitely would have helped you get more buzz about your book and have a lot of people kind of cheering you on and purchasing the book and wanting you to succeed. So I think that's really a testament to the fact that you are a people person, and that definitely helped you with the marketing of your book.
Oh, thanks, Rowena.
And I just want to jump in here and ask both of you, like, what if you don't see yourself as a people person? And I think people would be surprised too. I don't know. I see myself as very introverted and not a people person. So like, but Ro, you know, like my strengths of curiosity and that kind of thing. So then how would that change the way I would say launch an Amazon book? I'm totally going off script here, and we might take this out. But what if people have different strengths? And let's use my example of curiosity and love of learning.
So for you, Shelley, I think you'd probably love the tech side, and I think you'd love the data and the information that's available if you used Amazon. And your curiosity would mean you'd be diving into all sorts of learning programs to work out how you could best utilize the algorithms to support your promotion of your book. I suspect you would also maybe offer like a little bonus types of things around webinars or other kind of little They're little teaching things, mm-hmm. yeah. And that would maybe lend itself to the type of book that you've been writing as well. Hmm. So what about Mel? Do you have any suggestions for Shelley on that? For people who are not people?
I don't consider myself a people person, to be honest, Shelley and Rowena. I am definitely an introvert. It's just that I am open. So I feel like being open as a person can lead to opportunities, and you don't have to be loud and extroverted in order to be noticed or get noticed and be visible. And I say this about content as well. It's the quiet content. It's the purposeful content. When you do things with an intention and in a way that feels really good for you and in line with your strengths, then that is where you're going to have the most success.
I love it.
Nice. So on that, now that you've just told everybody you're not actually a people person, how has the book transformed you as a person? And I feel like I can ask this because we're friends. Has writing the book transformed you or changed you in any way?
I don't think so, Rowena. I think that I'm the same old Mel that I was before I wrote the book. I really do. I mean, it's pretty cool that I can call myself an author. Like, I'm pretty proud of that. But if anything, it's definitely given me the courage to keep going, to keep sharing the message that I have to share with everyone. And it's made me feel like this message has been validated and it's worthy of being shared. And it's kind of like really inspiring to know that you're on purpose and that I can help as many women as possible in this area of their business. So I think that, I don't feel like it's changed me, but it's given me more courage and confidence, most definitely.
So
that's
awesome.
Wonderful.
Well, Mel, I think we're going to ask for your help there, because now it's time in our episode for our listeners to put your message into action. And we end each episode of Two Booked Up with a segment called Choose Your Own Adventure, where we give listeners two action steps that they can choose from to take beyond the episode. So Mel, can you give us those two options for actions that listeners could choose to take after this episode?
Yes, this is such a fun part of the episode. I really like this, and I'm just so honored that I get to do it in this episode. So the first one, option one, would be I'd really love your listeners to take one small step, one small action to achieving a dream that they have, no matter how big or unachievable they think it is. So I never, ever in a million years imagined that I could write a book, let alone publish a book. So, but here I am, age 49, calling myself an author. It's just proof that it is never, ever, never, ever too late to take that small step to get closer to your dream. So that's the first option I would suggest. And the second pathway would be, I challenge you to be more you. I really do. Whether this is following a dream, making a change in your life, finding a way to bring more gratitude into your day, making a stand for something, ditching expectations that you or others have placed on you, whatever it is, I'd love people to really lean into who they are essentially as a person at their core. And you know what? There is just so much peace and joy in being more you. So that would be my second one, be more you.
Oh, yes. I think we can both heartily endorse both of those options. So listeners, if you're feeling particularly ambitious, maybe do both. Take a small step or action to achieving a dream and in the process, be more you at the same time. Thank you, Mel. Those are terrific Choose Your Own Adventure actions. Now, can you please tell our listeners how they can buy their own copy of The Power of Content and where they can connect with you online?
Oh my goodness, you can connect with me in all the places, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. I also have a free Facebook group people are able to join. But you can purchase my book at thecontenteffect.com.au/book or via my business website, which is meldbusinessservices.com.au.
Great. We'll put all those links up in the show notes for everyone to go and purchase The Power of Content.
Mel, thank you so much for chatting with us here on Two Booked Up about The Power of Content. It has been fabulous and so exciting.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure to have this conversation with you.
And now to wrap up our episode, Shelley, it's over to you. What have you been reading lately?
Well, of course, besides having just read The Power of Content, I've just started a really great book called What Great Storytellers Know, 7 Skills to Become Your Most Influential and Inspiring Self by Bernadette Jiwa. And this book dives into 7 skills you can develop to become a great storyteller and in the process build trust and connection with your people. So of course, I'd venture to say that this book could be a great complement to Mel's book, The Power of Content. And you'll have to let me know if you agree, because that's where we're going to wrap things up today. But let's continue the conversation. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Shelley Tonkin-Smith over there. And you can learn more about my copywriting services and resources for online service providers and educators at shelleysmithcreative.com. And where can listeners find you, Ro?
You can find me at Rowena Mabbitt on Instagram and visit rowenamabbitt.com for information about my coaching services and all my books.
And of course, remember to visit twobooksup.com for show notes and to download the 24 for 2024 Reading Challenge PDF for free. I'm Shelley Tonkin-Smith, encouraging you to go and buy The Power of Content by Mel Daniels and unleash the power of content in your life and business.
And I'm Rowena Mabbitt. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time for another episode of Two Booked Up. Thanks for listening.